Father, I thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray that your spirit of peace would come upon everybody in this room, that a spirit of encouragement would come upon everybody in this room, Lord, that before we leave this service, Lord, that we would know that the love that you have for each and every one of us, Lord, that your peace would be with each and every one of us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So if y'all see me jumping up here, it's either the Holy Spirit or this fly is driving me crazy. There's a fly that keeps attacking me up here. So I'd rather it be the Holy Spirit than the fly, but we'll see what happens up here, okay? I encourage you all to open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And I was going back and forth. I had two different sermons on my mind, and I was trying to decide and ask the Lord which one was I supposed to preach today, and I just kept going back to this message, and it's a message of encouragement, and I just kept feeling like I'm supposed to have a message of encouragement this morning, and for you all, and so I'm glad you're here, and everybody can smile. Because you're about to be blessed, I hope. You're about to be blessed by what God's laid upon my heart to talk to all of us about. It's something that I struggle with myself. And it seems like lately I've been struggling more and more with it. But God has a plan and a purpose for you and for me this morning. And so, I pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. The title of the message is Put the Past in the Past, okay? And so it's time that we put our past in the past, okay? Romans 8, verse 1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Is that what y'all's Bible says? Is anybody open up there? I was really wanting you guys to open up there because that's what my Bible says, okay? But that's not what every Bible says. I'm kind of seeing what everybody says. Mine says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's what it says right there. It stops. But if you look at the King James Version, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To me, that's pretty important there. In the NIV, the original one that I read does not say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, it does state that later in verse 3 or 4 down there, but it doesn't state it to begin with. And so to me, that's very important. There is no condemnation. I don't know about y'all, but I feel condemnation sometimes. I feel beat up sometimes. I feel broke down sometimes, and I feel that condemnation, and I think of this verse, but there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So why do I feel so much condemnation? But you look, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, y'all, that's so important, I believe, with our walk with God, is to not feel that condemnation. Is what are we walking after? Is it the flesh or is it the Spirit? There's a reference there. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that no condemnation comes when we're not walking after the flesh, but we're walking after the Spirit, when we're seeking God. Let's go on. That's not the whole message, okay? But the message is we're not supposed to be living under that condemnation, okay? And so many live their life feeling condemned constantly, feeling that guilt, feeling that shame of past sins. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now we understand that this is Paul, who was Saul, that is saying this. I consider myself not taking hold of it yet, But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me. How many of you have a past? Some of us have a more colorful past than others. But we've all got a past. I bet all of us have things that we're ashamed of in this room that we've done. All of us have things that if we could go back and change and say things different or do things different or act a little differently, we would do that. And sometimes if we're not careful, we begin to live under condemnation of our past, of who we used to be, of what we used to be. And it's funny how I felt like I had victory over that. And I've shared the story before where I went to a man to confess my sins of stealing from him and had money in hand and going to pay him back. And God spoke to me in my spirit, Pete, it's under the blood. Leave it here. Don't bring it up again. And I felt so victorious. For months I felt like, God, thank you. You've released me from my past. But then something will happen. And I'm reminded of a situation. I'm reminded of a circumstance, or I'll see somebody and I'll remember something, and then Satan will just start hitting me and beating me up once again over the past. And when I say the past, I don't even necessarily always mean stuff from years ago before I was a Christian. I mean even stuff since I've been a believer where I've blown it, where I've made mistakes. And Satan will so beat us up. And Paul here, who used to be Saul, is saying, I forget that junk. I forget that garbage. And I'm pressing on towards the goal. I don't remember that anymore. And see, sometimes we spend so much time looking back that we get off course. Sometimes we spend so much time looking back at the person that we used to be, looking back at how we used to live and how we used to act and the good old days. But the good old days for some of us, we remember wasn't really that good, and the things that we did were ashamed of. But as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about that this was Saul who used to be Paul, and it just made me begin to think about all the men of God that have blown it, and the things that they did. We're going to go to Acts 7, verse 54 now. And the Romans 8:1 was the only one that I was trying to mess with y'all a little bit and see what your Bible said. And I encourage you to go home and maybe read that and research it a little bit and look at the different versions and if they're leaving things out or adding things in, and just kind of challenge you to look at God's heart there, okay? But here we're going to Acts 7, verse 54, and it says, when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now, that young man named Saul was who we just read, who wrote Philippians. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining towards what is ahead. This is the same man here. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there giving his approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. This is the same man who says, I forget the things that I did. I forget what's behind me. Y'all, that's encouraging to me. That he could see that that's not who he is anymore, that that's not the person that he is anymore. You jump over to chapter 9 right here in just a couple verses. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them to prison to Jerusalem. Saul was a bad dude when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the things of the church. He was persecuting, he was destroying, he was taking men and women. He gave his approval to Stephen's death. Yet he said, "One thing that I do, I forget what is behind me and strain towards what is ahead." Now, I hope, Lord, that I can make this all make sense, because we're going to go to Hebrews 11 now. Verse 1, and we're going to talk about faith for just a minute. Hebrews 11, 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for. "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." So this whole chapter begins to talk about faith and the men of God that pleased God in heaven by their faith, by their righteous acts, by their trusting God, by their believing God. Jump down to verse 6 and it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." So there's two parts here that I want to get, okay? The first is this whole chapter is talking about men of God, of their faith, just like Saul, and many of them had mistakes. Many of them had disappointments. Many of them had blown it in their life. And there's a whole list here of all of them, and we don't have time to go through the whole list. So I thought, well, I'm just going to say a few to point out some mistakes that they made in their life. And as I began to get into it, there was a lot more than what I thought. So I'm going to try and preach fast here. But we go back and we're going to be in Genesis from chapter 12 to chapter 20 for just a minute. And we're going to be talking about Abraham and his life. Abraham was a man of God. Abraham believed God and he was commended for that. But Abraham had mistakes, just like many of you have had in your life. Let's start at Genesis 15:1. It says, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." Abraham had no kids. Abram here, you know, Abram changes his name to Abraham. God changes Abraham's name to Abraham. But Abram here, and he believed God. Okay, so God's saying, you're going to have all these kids, all these blessings, more numerous than the stars. Jump over to 16, verse 1. "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had bore him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So he said to Abram, The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservants. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years. Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, You are responsible for the wrongdoing I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms and now she knows she is pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your servant is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. And Sarai mistreated Hagar. So she fled from her. Okay, so here, Abram was promised, you're going to have an heir, you're going to have a children. But what did they do? They began to manipulate things. They began to take things into their own hand. Is that not how we are sometimes? Even with good intent, sometimes we can stop trusting God, or we can begin to manipulate, we can begin to work things out. I've done that before in my own life. This morning in Sunday school, Proverbs 3, lean not on your own understanding. But sometimes in my own understanding, I begin to think, I need to do this or I need to do that. And here, Abram and Sarah was thinking, we're old. 10 years has passed since we were promised this. And still no child. God, maybe we misheard. God, maybe we need to do this or maybe we need to do that. Jump back to chapter 12. 12 verse 10. I'm just trying to get a picture here for you guys, and most of these stories are probably familiar to you, but I'm trying to drive home the point of these were great men of God that we're looking at. In their past, their lives, ways that they blew it. 12:10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. What? Fear. Fear. Now, how beautiful must Sarah have been for him to say, you know what? They're going to see how beautiful you are and they're going to kill me to get you. She must have been gorgeous, okay? But the fear of saying, they're going to kill you, so just say you're my sister and then everything will be okay. This man trusted God. He believed God. He was walking with God. He was being obedient. You know, sometimes, even in our life, fear can get the better of us, can't it? God, is this you or is this me? God, which way do I go? God, I need to back up. God, I need to step away. God, I need to change directions. I need to just say a little white lie here. A half-truth. We'll see here in a minute that this is a half-truth. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman, and Pharaoh's officials saw her. They praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious disease on Pharaoh and on his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. What have you done to me? He said. Why did you tell me she was your sister? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. Curse began to fall upon Pharaoh because he was with another man's wife. Because Abram lied. Let's go over to chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 15. God also said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? He laughed. He laughed. God is speaking to him and he laughed. I'm 100, she's 90. God, is this really going to happen? One more here with Abraham, and we'll go on to the next. it's amazing to me, you jump over to chapter 20, verse 1, and how beautiful Sarah must have been. Now, Abraham moved on from there into the region of Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while, he stayed in Gerar. And there, Abraham said to his wife, Sarah, she is my sister. Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. What? He's back at that again? He's still saying she's my sister? But God said to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, you are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman. Now Abimelech had not gone near her. So he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And didn't she also say, he is my brother? I have done this with a clear conscience and a clean hand. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. This is why I did not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and all of yours will die. Early the next morning, Abimelech summoned all the officials, and when he told them all that had happened, they were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said, What have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you have brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should not be done. And Abimelech asked Abraham, what was your reason for doing this? Abraham replied, I said to myself, there is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God had me wander from my father's household, I said to her, this is how you can show your love to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother. Fear. Fear. So, in just those high points, okay, he laughed at what God told him. When God told him he'd have children, he and Sarah tried to do it their own way, getting the maidservant. Then she became jealous. They kick her out. She flees. Then he lies again about his wife. Now, how many of you, if you were going to give somebody the keys to your house or let somebody take over a corporation, would take somebody that's lied and laughed and doesn't believe and all those things that he's done? See, I think sometimes we get caught up in our past and all the things that we've done, and we think God can't use us here. We've seen where Saul gave approval to Stephen's stoning. We've seen that Saul was persecuting the church. We see Abraham lying, half-lying. We see Abraham laughing. And when you go through Hebrews 11, these were great men of God. David, we all know the story of David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel 11, where he takes Bathsheba, she gets pregnant, and then he tries to entice her husband to come home, and when her husband is more honorable than he sends him to the front lines to be killed. David, we remember that David played as a madman in front of the king of Gath and let drool run out of his mouth because of fear, because he was in fear that he would be killed, and that's in 1 Samuel 21. Y'all, I could go on and on and on and on of the people in Hebrews 11 that were called great because of their faith. And they all had a past. They all had things in their life that they weren't proud of. Men, women that have made mistakes. But the second part of that Hebrews 11 is that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And just like in Romans 8:1, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, today I want to encourage you that your past can be your past. You don't have to live in that regret. You don't have to live in that condemnation. You don't have to live in that life where you blew it and everybody knows. But today, you can begin to earnestly seek Him. Today, you can begin to live that new life where God is in control. Where we seek Him, not after the flesh, but we seek the things of the Spirit. You know, my brother, I wish I could remember exactly how he said it, but he was telling his daughter, living in a small town, that basically the reputation you get is very hard to overcome. If you get a bad reputation, in other words, it's very hard to overcome that in a small town because people will remember you a lot of times for what you were in high school if you don't leave the town. And so he was warning her, live your life well. Live your life how you would want it to be lived and how you would want to be remembered. And in church, I'm going to tell you, there's people sometimes that I've come across, and when they hear I'm a preacher, they're like, huh? You're a preacher? Thank God. Thank God, because of His mercy and because of His grace, that I'm able to stand up here this morning and preach. If you guys knew everything that I've done, you may not want to listen to me anymore. If you knew my past, you may not want to listen to me anymore. But because of the blood of Jesus, He has washed me clean and He made me into a new creation. In church, He's done that for many of you, if not all of you. And if you feel like He hasn't done it for you, then you need to get up here to these altars and God can give you that new beginning and put your past where it belongs, in the past. And we cannot live under that condemnation anymore that Satan tries to put us in. Because when we're living under condemnation, then we're living in embarrassment. We're living in shame. And then we can't be effective for God. We can't be effective anymore. But thank God, because of His mercy, because of His grace. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 says, the Spirit... Okay, that fly's attacking. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Church, that's for you and me today also. God can bind up your broken heart this morning. That God can set you free from the sin that's got you so captive. God will do it, and He did it back then, and He'll do it today to release you from the darkness. Verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, of our God, to comfort all who mourn. God can comfort you this morning in your mourning, in your whether it's a mourning over your past, whether it's a mourning over who you used to be, or a mourning over just a broken heart this morning, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ash. There's a song, Beauty for Ashes. And that's what made me think of this, that God can make something beautiful out of the ashes of what your life used to be. God can turn into something beautiful for today. You know, some people have been drug addicts. Some people have been in prison. Some people have gone through things in their life that I've never gone through. So that means that God can use you in a unique and different way than what He can use me. But God can turn those ashes into something beautiful. He can turn that past into something beautiful for His glory and for His honor. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I don't know about y'all, but I've been in that spirit of despair before, of woe is me, and the guilt of what I've done, and the guilt of my life, and the guilt of my past. instead of a spirit of despair, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. You think about that, the display of His splendor. See, the person, the past that you had in this little old town of Mansfield that we all live in, well, most of us live in. We've got a few from out of town here. That past and who you used to be, see, God can take it and turn it into a display of splendor of look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done, how He changed me, how He transformed me, how I'm not the person that I used to be. We're going to finish up in Psalms 103. And I was only going to read like two verses here, but it's just so good, I couldn't help myself. We're going to read 1 through 14, okay? And it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Whoever forgives, who forgives all your sins and heals all your disease." You hear that? Forgives all your sins. All your sins. God wants to forgive all your sins this morning. Church, my heart breaks. My heart breaks when I hear people that have died. And I don't know if they're going to heaven or not. Do they realize that God wants to forgive their sins? Do you realize this morning that God wants to forgive your sins? Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? See, the person that I used to be, I was in a pit. I was nasty. I was filthy. But God has taken me out of that pit and crown me with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. You know, it's been 3 or 4 years ago, I think. But one time we were having a talk at my house about things, and my kids brought up how quick I got angry. I didn't see that in myself. I thought, huh? How quick I get angry? Y'all don't even know the half of it, how bad I want to be angry way before I ever get angry. And they just see but I need to examine myself. How they perceive Dad is, man, he got mad quick and he would get us in a hurry. And I need to make some changes in my life on that. And you know, sometimes I think that we're sitting here looking at God as just an angry God, ready to pounce on us. But here it says God is slow to anger and abounding in love. Verse 9, He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Church, that is encouraging and that is good news. Because I don't want to be treated the way that I deserve to be treated. Now, some of y'all may be super saints and super spiritual and you're all good and you think you should be treated well. I'm going to tell you something. The life that I've lived, I thank God for these verses here. I thank God that I don't get what I deserve. He treats us. He does not treat us as our sin deserves or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. You hear that? So great is His love for those who fear Him. Church, I'm going to tell you something. If you're walking in condemnation, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For those who fear Him. See, if you're walking in this garbage, if you're walking in this junk, what are you walking in? Is it Satan bringing attacks against you? Are you still walking in the flesh? Are you not walking in the fear of God? As far as the east is, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. I love that. He remembers that we're just dust. He remembers who we are. Church, this morning, maybe this message was just for me. But sometimes the past comes up and sometimes I begin to beat myself up. And I remember who I once was. And sometimes that old worldly and that old fleshly man wells up and it's a battle and I do things and say things that I shouldn't say. And it's when I'm given into that flesh and that I begin to walk in that, and that's when I get in trouble once again and I begin to live in sin. But we are not those people anymore, and you are not those people anymore. And God has made you into something new. And something that He wants to display to the world of look at what this person was. They were a drug addict and He set them free. Look at what this person was. I heard the other day on the radio this guy and it was talking about this ministry. It was Greg Laurie's ministry. And it was this guy calling in, and it was 20 years ago. He said he was an alcoholic and said that he was about to open up the bottle and his radio stuck on the Greg Laurie program, and he went to change it and just something stopped him from changing it. And he got saved right there listening to the radio, and he said, from that day forward, I never even had the desire to take a sip of that alcohol again. God changed him. God transformed him. And he was just talking about the Greg Laurie ministry, and I thought, how awesome is that, that God took this alcoholic and made it in him into something beautiful in the testimony of saying, I don't even have the desire anymore. No. Church, I know I got to be careful because I don't want to bring condemnation on you. In my life, there are certain things that God delivered me from like that. I had a filthy, filthy mouth. I cussed like a sailor. When I got saved, something happened. I bet I've said, since I've been saved, and it's been over 20 years now, and I'm really think I can honestly say that there's probably been less than 5 to 10 cuss words that's come out of my mouth since I've been saved. You guys might say 5 to 10. Well, I'm just trying to be honest. But there's other things in my life, and I'm not going to lie, since I've been saved, it's still a struggle. It's still a battle. And so if you're still struggling with something, if you're still battling something, I'm not trying to heap condemnation on you. Well, this man was delivered. He didn't even have the desire anymore. And here I am, and I still fight it every day. For each one of us, there's different things that we battle with. But church, God says, I want to deliver you. But walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. He remembers that we're just dust. And if we would remember that we're just dust, then we need to know that we need to rely upon Him each and every day. That He's turning the ashes into beauty. That He's removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. That as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. If you know how much you love your children, if you know how much you love your family, and you need to understand that God has that love for you and for me. And that now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who walk. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to encourage you this morning. And I know sometimes my messages aren't that encouraging, but I want to encourage you this morning, church. Walk after the Spirit. Walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Spend time with the Lord. And if you're feeling that condemnation, if you're being reminded of your past, say, I'm a new creation. That the old man is gone, that the new man is alive. And remember the examples in the Bible. The Bible says that we're to learn from those examples of Abraham, of David, of Saul, of even Noah. Look at these men, these great men. Go through Hebrews chapter 11 and look at their life and their mistakes and their failures. But what did Paul say? I forget what's behind me and I press on to the goal. I strain. I'm moving forward to what God's called me to. Let's forget our past and let's start charging forward to what God's called us to. If y'all would, please stand. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, I pray for forgiveness for each and every one of us. Lord, for the past sins of maybe the past sins of even this morning, of yesterday, of last week, of maybe when we were teenagers, when we were children, Lord, that as Satan reminds us and that condemnation begins to well up, Lord, I pray, Lord, right now that we would stand on Your promises, Lord, that it's under the blood, that's as far as the east is from the west. Lord, now if there's any in here with unconfessed sin, if there's any in here with unrepented sin, I pray that You would deal with them, Lord, that they need to confess that they need to repent of that. But Father, for so many of us, Lord, that have confessed, that have repented, Lord, may You give us victory. May we not live under condemnation any longer. May we live in victory each and every day and know that from this moment on, we're on display. We're on display for all to see of what You can do with a pile of dust, with a pile of dirt here, Lord. What You can do. What You can take from the ashes. What You can take from the pit. And how You can raise us up and transform us into the righteous, holy priesthood that You've called us all to be. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would begin to walk in victory from this moment on. That we would not walk in condemnation any longer. That we would understand that the love that You have for us. And that we would begin to live that out. That we would return that love to You. That we would not gratify the flesh any longer, but we would walk in the Spirit. Lord, may each one have encouragement this morning. Father, may a smile come to all of our faces, Lord, to know that we are loved. To know that we are cherished. To know that we have a God that is abounding in love and slow to anger. Lord, may Your Spirit just pour out Your love upon each and every one of us, and may we use that to walk in victory each and every day. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need to spend some time alone with the Lord, if you need prayer for anything, maybe there's something that you really haven't repented from, maybe there's some sin that you really haven't truly ask God to forgive you of, now's the time. And then you can begin to walk in that victory of, no, the past is the past. However the Lord leads, take this time to seek Him.
Here before Your altar, I am letting go of all I've held, of every
I believe every one of you that's here this morning, you were supposed to be here for this message. And I want to challenge you, if there is something that keeps coming to your mind, to get on your knees and pray. Confess it. Ask God to forgive you. seek Him and say, Lord, is there something here that I've missed? Is there something here that needs to be dealt with? But then put it under the blood of Jesus. If He tells you to deal with something, you deal with it. If not, then put it under the blood of Jesus. And then if it continues to come to mind, seek out the Lord. But don't let Satan keep you bound up to where you think you can't be used, to where you think your past is just so bad that you've done something so horrible that God can't use you. God used murderers. God used adulterers. God used liars. God can use you today. He's a gracious, loving, and compassionate God. And I'm so thankful for that. He hasn't given me what I deserve. But He's turned me into a new creation. Elders meeting tonight. Let's move it back to 5:45 instead of 5:30. 5:45 for the elders meeting. We're going to be discussing our missions. We have, like I said, three missionaries that you all support, that you all are helping spread the gospel around the world. And then we have a young man named Hayden that had came here and he's went to China doing work over there. We don't support him monthly, but we'll be discussing doing something for him also. And so if you're interested, you're welcome to attend 5:45 tonight for Bible study, or for elders meeting 6:30 for Bible studies. I pray that you'd be encouraged and have a wonderful week. God bless you all.